Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle here with me, and we have a very special guest. Welcome for the first time on the podcast, Robert Ganico. Welcome, Rob.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh man, he's videoing right
What's
now.
What's
up? is that a live feed, Rob?
No.
Okay, good.
I can't do that stuff, man.
He's doing an Instagram bounce on us.
I'm like, I don't even know what those things are called, so.
Me either.
That's good.
So we're excited to have you, Rob. First time. You know, I kind of feel like we should do this. We haven't done this in a while. In the past, what we did was we'd ask first-time guests something that God's been highlighting to them recently. So, Rob, what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently? And we kind of sprung it on him, too. We didn't even tell him that we're going to do this.
Okay, so I'll give you a second to think, all right?
Okay.
So this all came about because a few Sundays ago, I was sitting at the lunch table with Rob, and we were eating lunch together, and he asked me a question, I asked him a question. We started talking, and I said, you know what? I felt like I was supposed to invite him to come on the podcast. So that's how this started. It took a little while to get our schedules aligned, but no, I thought it's going to be great. He's going to have some cool stuff to share today, so...
And we might have to bring Rob on a couple more times because he brought some cool gifts for the...
He brought food and stuff. That always is very welcome.
All right, Rob. So what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently?
So recently, God, he's been highlighting my aunties and uncles and my cousins recently. I'd say over, the past few years... Maybe since the pandemic, our families kind of have not been hanging out as much during the holidays. And so they've always been on the back of my mind. You know, our families have gotten a lot bigger too. So when we have gatherings, it gets like really big. Big as in like 50, 60 people, in one house. But yeah, it's something I really missed. And yesterday, or 2 days ago actually, we went to dinner to get sushi with my aunt and uncle. And just having that connection, you know, just catching up. Was so much fun. And yeah, they've been on my heart a lot recently.
Yeah, I think coming out of pandemic, that's something that a lot of people have experienced, right? Is that just the disconnection from people and wanting to reconnect and stuff. So it's cool that you're actually taking steps to be proactive and do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on the we call that off the dome. That's what Brett always does. I'm going off the dome right now. I'm just off the spur of the moment. So,
yeah, because I love my family. You know, they've had so much fun, and it's just weird. Like over the past few years since the pandemic, I feel like there's been some type of separation. And I really miss being around them.
Yeah, at our church, we've been talking about that stronger together concept too. Like having that family connection, that togetherness. There's really not just value in it. There's comfort in it. There's power in it. There's lots of different things that come from the bond that a family would have.
Right. Yeah.
But you're pointing at me. What?
Yeah, I'm pointing at you because you said you were going to take the lead today.
I did. No, I.
Yeah,
didn't.
You did.
You told me to. Oh my gosh.
We're trying Kyle's chops at being the host on the podcast today. So
get us
now now he's kind of backing out.
Wow, I did not hear that. Okay, so we're continuing our journey through Ephesians chapter 5. So Pastor Barry had a great message, and it was a challenging message yesterday. I actually wasn't in service, but I watched it last night, and My wife came home from church and was like, "Wow, Barry's message was really good." And so I was looking forward to watching it, and it was good, but it was challenging. But I thought we could talk about. He talked about three different
walks.
Walks. So there was the hidden.
Well, the first one was the sinner,
and then sinner. Sorry,
the second one was the hider, and then the third one was the partner.
Right, and so we can talk about that a little bit, but I thought just to open it, he had that part in the middle where he, well, I, I feel like I'm jumping ahead. So let's.
Yeah, you were jumping ahead because we said we were going to talk about that at the end.
Okay, so I'm kind of all like.
I flustered you.
You did, man. Like, I was not prepared on where we were going with this. All right, so since I'm the host, I get to ask questions. So Damon, what did you think about those three different walks, and what were some insights that were pointed out to you from that?
I thought it was so in this part of Ephesians, you know, Paul is starting to go into more of the application, right? The beginning of Ephesians, a lot of it was about the theology about it, and now it's the application. And so I thought it was really cool how Pastor Barry kind of picked out these three different walks to help us to understand what it can look like when we actually are applying what we're learning, mm-hmm. right? So the first one, the sinner, is just someone that doesn't know Jesus and has not experienced him. And so how are they living? They're living just like the world, mm-hmm. right? And then the hider is someone that, you know, they might have heard about Jesus a little bit. They might come to church on Sundays, but they're not really experiencing him and the fullness of his love and his grace. And so, you know, they're walking a little bit.
But it sounded like they have received Christ, right? Yes. They would be a Christian. Yeah.
And then the third one is the partner, is just someone who is dedicated to following in Jesus' footsteps and wanting to partner with him in what he's doing in the world. And so I thought it was cool to see kind of the dichotomies of all of the three different types of walks and recognizing, like, where do I want to be? It's like, do I want to just be a hider? Do I want to just say the right stuff but not actually live it out? Or do I want to be more of a partner with Jesus and help him to accomplish what he wants to do and, like, partner with him in that? So I thought that was pretty cool, just how Pastor Barry laid it out. And it was pretty clear, like, for me, I was like, I don't want to just be a hider, but I can see the temptation to just want to be, right? And so, yeah, I appreciated it, but it was convicting because it's like, am I doing the things that I need to do? Especially when he said the stop it thing, right? It was like, oh, that was pretty funny.
How about for you, Rob? What stood out when he described those three things?
Well, I came in kind of late during that message and I didn't watch it. But I think what really stood out to me was when he picked up his phone and the whole stop it mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I try my best, especially when I'm with my kids, mm-hmm. to not use my phone. But, you know, it's always around me, and mm-hmm. I have to check my emails or whatever it is. But I try my best not to. But, you know, I really just got convicted. You know, this phone, it's a great use, right, mm-hmm. for information. But like Pastor Barry said, you can use it for a lot of bad things too. And, you know, I've kind of shared with you guys over the years, when I used to be an intern here, right, one of the things that I struggled with was purity. Mm-hmm. And this phone thing is like such easy access, right, for mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And yeah. Especially Instagram, you're just kind of scrolling through and then things just pop up, right? So it's been a continual thing that God's been working on in my heart, my mind. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel more free than I've ever been mm-hmm. in that area of my life. But it's still something that I am continually working on. Mm-hmm. But that stop it really just kind of shook me.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was interesting the way he delivered it, too, because he's like, I got this direct revelation from the Lord. And when he talked about it, I'm like, oh, that was sincere, but it was like a two-word revelation. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, wake up. Stop it. And it sounded funny at first, but then as he kept going, it was like, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of depth and there's a lot of conviction with that, those two words, right?
Heavy. It's heavy. Yeah.
I think especially in the society that we live in nowadays, right, it's very hard to either say that or, you know, feel like you can say that to people
right.
or to receive it too, right. just because it, you know, the way that the society is like, just do whatever you want, whenever you want, and it's, everything's okay, right? Mm-hmm. And so to hear that, it's like, whoa, like, you know, and knowing Pastor Barry in his heart, it's like, mm-hmm. he wouldn't say that if it wasn't like loving towards you, right? And for your good and for your benefit. And so it's like, oh, like I need to do a self-check too. 'Cause he wouldn't say that if he didn't feel like it was from the Lord.
Yeah, it's interesting when you brought up the phone. I thought that was pretty powerful when he talked about his youngest grandson. It's only like 15 months old and kind of mimics. He can grab the phone and mimic like touching it and like swiping because he can see his parents, probably his, you know, his grandparents, anybody using a phone like that. So they know you do that kind of thing with the phone and then you get things out of it. You get pictures, you get whatever. But I thought that was interesting, especially in light of what you just said, Rob, about social media. So I'm not a social media person. Like I have a Facebook account and that's about it. And that shows you how old I am.
MySpace? Yeah, MySpace?
No, but I remember when that came out, but I didn't join.
Is that still a thing? It's not, right?
I don't think MySpace is around anymore.
Okay, good.
But I had one.
But I even that, I get on it maybe once a week or something. But I know my wife, it's been a challenge, or Instagram, like where she's done fast. She's actually done like a year fast of Instagram, but then she'll get back on.
She's going to get mad at you for calling it a fast.
Oh, yeah. No, I tried. That's not a fast anymore.
It's abstaining.
Abstaining, that's right. Well, she used to call it a fast, but yeah. No, where she's like, yeah, abstained from it for that long. But then she's able to go back and take it in a healthier dose, but then it can be like a burden or a struggle as well. So you were just saying that you feel like you're in a better place now. Have you had things that you've done differently that have got you into a better place, or is it just maybe just maturity in general? Or
I think it's just my mindset. I've been meeting with Uncle Barry, and gosh, he's gonna get mad at me for not knowing what the name of this book is that we're reading together. But I just had a brain fart. Anyways, we're reading a book together, and yeah, it's just really changed my mindset on when, you know, I make a mistake or whatever. Like, God is still, like, he still loves me. He's still proud of me and who I am, my identity in him. And instead of feeling like, oh, dang it, I'm ashamed, or like, damn, sorry, it's PG, right? That's on this podcast. But instead of feeling that shame and that guilt, I look to him and I praise him. Like, God, you already died. You know, you sent your son to die for me. You died for this already. It's done. Thank you. So instead of feeling the guilt like, oh, God, forgive me. Now I say, God, thank you. Which is such a different mindset that I've never had before. Until probably late last year. I've never said thank you, God, when I've made a mistake. I've always asked, God, forgive me. But he already has. And so I think being in this thankfulness for him, it's like, why would I want to if he's already done it? You know, he's so good to me. So that's, I feel like he's been really, working in my heart in that way. And it's been, just been helping me a lot.
That's cool. I mean, it ties in with what we shared last week, right?
I was just going to say, it seems like that's a common theme. It's just renewing our mind to have this thankful posture.
So last week I shared that Martha had shared something with me and kind of had shared a perspective of being thankful even in difficult circumstances. And for me, that was like I'm thankful when things go well, but am I thankful even when things aren't going well? Like, and that was tied in with my medical stuff last week and still kind of ongoing, but trying to find something to focus on that I can be thankful for. Even this morning, having some issues with our family, with medical stuff, but even there's fear, there's unknown, there's anxiousness, but it's like, okay, God, what can I be thankful for? I'm thankful for the appointment that we had this morning, because that was a huge blessing. So, that attitude of thankfulness is a powerful tool that I think we don't tap into enough.
So going back to the three walks, do you feel like having that attitude of thankfulness helps us to move from one step to the other? I mean, I think a lot of what we're talking about is right between the hider and the partner, right? And so do you think that helps us to move from hiding to partnering, recognizing that, wow, God actually chose me to partner with him and wanting to be thankful in that?
Yeah. When Rob was sharing, I think it's a mindset shift. And I think it can come through different ways. I think that's one powerful way that it can come through. But I think it doesn't have to be just that way. I think it can be through other other means, but I think it's yeah, kind of reworking our mind. Cause so Rob, I was going to ask you like that previous way you used to be just God forgive me. And it was more shame or guilt. Is that just something that had been with you just kind of growing up, that was just something that you had worn and you needed to kind of take that off and shift? Or did you feel that got put on you at some point? Or
I don't know. I just think that's kind of how I learned.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just probably the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, make a mistake. All right. Pray and ask God for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would do.
Yeah.
My mind was kind of just trained that way. And I guess that was wrong. Well, I guess it's right, but you know, I think it's good to ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But then, yeah, just this way is like, okay, knowing that he's already forgiven me, mm-hmm. and now, yeah, just be thankful. Mm-hmm. And in that thankfulness, it just kind of like overtakes that shame and overtakes that guilt, and it just really makes me not want to make those same mistakes again, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just part of that maturing journey, Damon, that it's just a process that takes time. But I think, I don't know, is there something that came to mind for you that you've seen either in yourself or other people that has been like something that's transformed them on that journey?
Well, kind of as you're talking, I do think that there is like levels to maturity, right? So I think for sure. at some point there, you know, the asking for forgiveness, like that's important, especially if we're moving from like the sinner position to now a believer, right? There needs to be a sense of like, oh, I did something wrong. There is a forgiveness that I need. But I feel like at the same time, it's not staying in that place, right? It's like, if we stay in that place, it's like we're not growing to where God wants us to be, right? And so I think part of, for you, Rob, it's like, that was a good, there was a season where that was appropriate, but then maybe you were in that season for too long. And now the Lord is saying, I'm ready for you to be in this new season. And that's to level up. And so it's interesting. It's interesting because, so there's this song that's been on the radio and we've played it a couple times at church that I've been really wrestling with. I've really been wrestling with. Right. And, and I think it kind of has something to do with what we're talking about right now. And, kind of the part, I think it's the bridge of the song says, like, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And then it goes, and that's why I trust him. Right. And I was like, there's something in me that's stirring. That's like, that doesn't feel right. There's something that doesn't necessarily feel right. But at the same time, there is something that feels right. Right. That's like, yeah, we want to trust the Lord because he heard us. But then at the same time, it's like, is that where I want to be? Because what about the opposite? Like, when I don't feel like the Lord is hearing me and answering me, then do I want to not trust the Lord because I feel like he didn't hear me or he didn't answer me? It's like, no, I want to trust the Lord no matter what. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like there was probably a season in my life where I needed to see the evidence of him hearing me or mm-hmm. and being with me and those things. But that, I think that was a season. And then now it's like I'm in a different season where it's like, no, I don't want to just my faith just to be grounded in, okay, God answers my prayers, so that's why I'm going to trust him. But I want it to be deeper than that, where it's I'm going to trust him even when I feel like he's not hearing my prayers. So it's like it's not bad, but it's like, is that the season that I'm wanting to be in or wanting to get to? You know, so there has been kind of this stirring, like kind of going back and forth. It's like, is that, how do I feel about these lyrics? It's like, okay, there is a season where it was appropriate, but then is that the season that I'm in right now? And where I feel like God wants me to be, but then also where God wants us to be, you know, as mature believers, does he want us to, but you know, yeah. So I just been wrestling with that, but I think it does show that, you know, there are different seasons and God wants us to mature and level up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, I'm trying to wrap my head around the wording. Maybe it's not even different seasons. It's just adding to the fullness. Because I think it's not that we have to leave those seasons behind, because I think there's value in it, but it's actually just expanding, like the forgiveness part, right? It's the forgiveness thing. We still need to be aware of that, and it's still valuable in our Christian walk, but it's like, that's not all it is. Now it's forgiveness with thanksgiving, and it's coupled with honor, and it's coupled with all these different things. As we mature, we're able to see all of that at the same time and be operating through all of it, instead of just being limited to just one. Mm-hmm. So even like that, like the trust, yeah, the trust can be in when you see a direct hand of God, but you can also trust when there's no direct evidence, because you know, because of past experience, and they can both still be existent. You don't have to move on from the one. Yeah. It can still be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there, it's not like leveling up where you leave that behind, but it's you're leveling up where you add to it. Mm-hmm. So it's a maybe a greater fullness.
Yeah, I feel like with, I mean, me personally, this past year, maybe early, this whole year, sometimes I feel like I'm in a little dry spell, or like I'm not into like going to church, or just my talks with God haven't been like consistent, or I haven't really been talking to him at all, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know, I just feel like not going to church kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then I do, because I know like the truth, mm-hmm. like whether I've experienced God or not, because I feel like I haven't really been experiencing him or feeling him or, mm-hmm. but regardless of what I feel, I already know like he's the truth mm-hmm. because of what I have experienced in my past mm-hmm. and what I've learned. Mm-hmm. And that's my truth. So whether I feel it or not, I'm still going to pursue him, mm-hmm. which is something that I've, I guess, never really felt before.
Mm, yeah.
It's new, but it's good.
Yeah. For me, I would equate that with maturity. Like the other way of needing the experience to validate your mm-hmm. truth, then it's okay for in the moment, but then it's a weaker foundation. Whereas now the truth doesn't shift just because your emotions don't match, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Right.
So no, that's definitely, it seems like you've leveled up.
Yeah. But it's interesting too, because like in that space, just showing up, it's like, okay, no, God, you are here. Like I am experiencing you, mm-hmm. but it's just like getting over that in your head, you know, mm-hmm. Like, you need to experience me. You need to, mm-hmm. just like you did before, you know. But I don't. Because I know he has something better. Because mm-hmm. I have experienced that better. Mm. So I'm just trusting him right now. And, yeah, it's all been good.
Yeah, it's cool that you're talking about kind of this intentionality of still wanting to be intentional about pursuing and putting time and effort into your faith and to following the Lord. And it kind of brings to mind one of the reasons that Kyle had asked you to come on is that there was an intentional mm-hmm. decision that you had made that he wanted you to share about. So can you talk to us a little bit about your decision to go to YWAM?
Yeah, YWAM...
Yeah, so, okay, maybe you got your years, because I was asking you about how old you were or when, and you were trying to figure it out. You were, like, in your early to mid-20s, right?
I was, like, 24, 25, yeah. I think, when I went.
And can I just share with our audience a little bit of, you heard, I think you shared with me that you heard somebody share who had been on a YWAM, DTS or whatever, and then that kind of got you kind of on this journey to, like, should I do that same thing?
Yeah, so I was going to a church in Irvine at the time called New Song. And that time in my life, I was like 24, 25, and I was just really trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? Because I didn't have, I finished college and I was working at a Boys and Girls Club as an athletic director, and was just going through life. And I would always sit in the back of this church. And I remember there was a 17-year-old went on stage. And there's probably about a good 1,000 people that show up at this church. And this young man just started sharing his testimony like nothing, like deep, dark secret, just sharing it to 1,000 people. Like he didn't care. Mm-hmm. And what I saw in him was like, and this guy is genuine. Mm-hmm. Like he is authentic and he doesn't care what anyone thinks of him. And it's pure. How can I have that? Because I've never really met anyone around my age or younger or that who walked the walk. I've heard people talk it and all this stuff, but I've never, I wanted to do that myself. Mm-hmm. And seeing this 17-year-old like just walk it out like that, I'm like, okay, if he can do it, maybe I can do it. God, if you're real, like show me. And that's when I started considering YWAM. And yeah, went for it. And I don't know, you want the full story of how that happened, but.
Well, I think just maybe the challenge or the difficulty of even making that decision though. Cause you had that, it felt like, to me, it felt like the Lord put that on your heart that he wanted you to do that. But then you still had to wrestle with, am I going to do it? Can I do it? Is it the right time to do it? And those right. kind of questions. Like, maybe just take us through that part a little bit. And then how did you actually decide to go on this different? Because basically you had to choose a different path right. than you were on, right?
Yeah, because at that time I was also going through EMT school. So maybe when I was like 21, 22, I got introduced to the fire department when I was working at the Boys and Girls Club. They would come in to the club and play basketball. So that's kind of how I got introduced. And then I did a ride along with them, and that was like an amazing experience. So I was like, hey, you should be a fireman. I was like, all right, sure, why not? So then I started doing EMT school, and I actually didn't fail. I didn't pass my national registry exam. I took it twice, and I failed twice. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. But then the guys at the fire station were like, hey, you should, you know, keep it up, you know? And then I told them, like, you know what? I might want to do this mission, like, thing. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, it might hold you back, you know? Mm-hmm. If you do it, you're going to be, might miss your opportunity kind of thing. And I was like, okay. And I remember sharing with my parents going to YWAM. And, you know, my dad was excited.
Yeah.
My mom, she was like, oh, I don't know, like financially. Mm-hmm. And then in the back of my mind was like, why do you think you have to pay for it? This is what I was thinking. I didn't say it to her, but in my mind I was like, why do you think you guys need to pay for this? Like, you know, if this is really something God wants me to do, like I've heard God provides. Mm-hmm. And this is, I was testing God.
Yeah.
Like this was a part of my life where I was like, all right, God, if you're real, show me. I'm like, show me how am I going to get there with like $1,000 in my bank account kind of thing. And then one of my friends, he was a YWAMer. I met him at Long Beach. We're, you know, playing basketball together, and he just got back and he's like, hey, if it's God's will, it's his bill. I was like,
nice,
cool.
Nice.
But anyways, so this journey and just going through YWAM and wanting to get there, you know, I didn't tell Emily until I sent my application in. So that was another thing. I felt like
you guys were dating at the time?
We were dating at the time. Yeah. And I think another big factor was like, I've never left my Orange County bubble. Mm. And for the first time in my life, I felt God was telling me, you need to do things for me. And so I would put a lot of my trust in my family, which is good, but like I would depend on them for like my outlet in case something happened, or I would talk to Emily if anything bad happened. She would be my source. Mm-hmm. But I would never give it to God first. So he was strong. He was like, you need to just go to me first and just give everything to me. And once I got accepted is when I told Emily that I was going to be leaving for 8 months. And she wasn't sure if we were going to like stay together or what. And I was like, no, like if you want to stay together, that's fine. If you don't, I understand. But I need to do this for me. And that was like the first time in my life I really felt like I'm becoming like free. You know, just like no bounds, not worried about my future career, not worried about finances, not worrying about like girlfriend or future wife. Mm-hmm. My only worry was, God, are you real? Because if you are, show me now. Otherwise, I don't really care.
Yeah. Wow.
So God provided money. I remember my first letter, I wrote like a support letter. My first response was my old basketball coach, Glenn Tanaka. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it, but he said, "Hey, Robert, whatever you don't raise, I'll cover the rest."
Wow.
That was my first response.
Wow.
I'd say the majority of my friends, or this, my circle of life, was, you know, not Christian, but yeah. they're just loving, amazing people, right? And they're super supportive, right? And just money came in. I got anonymous cash just like at my parents' house, like dropped in the mailbox, like 500 bucks cash.
Wow.
No names on it, just money just coming in. And yeah, this was a span of one. So once I applied, got accepted, it was like 1 month until I had to actually get there to Kauai and I needed the money.
Yeah.
And within that 1 month, I had like 15 grand.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's wild.
And then when I showed up to my discipleship training school in Kauai, I remember just being on the beach my first day. I was like, God, what am I doing here? Mm. I felt like a little kid, right? On that flight to Kauai. Mm. I'd never been really anywhere by myself. And I was 25. And I was like, crying on the plane. I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I going? And I was like, God, you're doing it. And then he did a lot more after that. But that was just the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to hear more. But
no, I'm trying to think of the right questions to ask. So like from from that, so there was a huge decision point just to go, right? So there was people telling you maybe not the best idea, maybe not the best timing. And even for yourself, like, you had to make that decision. Like, no, I feel like this is what I need to do. Basically, you're putting God on the spot. Like, God, if you're real, I need to know because it's going to change my life. So when you did that, and maybe you could share a couple of things of how God revealed himself to you. And then how did that transform or just shape the direction of your life going forward?
Yeah. So the first, finances, right? Mm,
yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah, before you even got there.
Yeah, before I even got there, I was like, okay, yeah. God's, all right, you're there, okay?
I mean, so even that amount, that's
like, even that amount, I was like, all right.
That's way above and beyond what you needed to raise, right?
Yeah, above and beyond.
Yeah.
I needed 10.
Yeah.
Oh. And then when we're there, kind of fast forward, during my schooling in Kauai, I was getting like these dreams, like proposing to Emily, like on the beach in Kauai. And it was a reoccurring dream for like a week. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to propose to Em. I just got here and I have no money. Like when I'm done with this DTS thing, like it just doesn't make sense.
Flat broke.
Yeah. And then so I tested God again. I was like, all right, God, if this is real, I need you to show me. Like, give me a physical sign that I'm supposed to marry this girl. And I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. And then on outreach, I was in Hong Kong. Uh-huh. And we're having dinner. I was surrounded by young married couples at my table, all in their like young 20s to late 20s. There was a couple from Orange County that just got engaged. There was a couple from Russia. There was a couple from Brazil. I think, I don't remember where the other couple was from. Anyways, they're all young and they're all married and they're missionaries. And I asked this, one of the wives, the Russian couple, I was like, hey, have you ever had like a normal job? You know, you guys have been missionaries, like... And then she responded, she's like, Rob, I only work to share God's love.
Wow.
Like, huh, that's interesting. Like, I never gotten a response like that before.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that was it. Like, because the only reason why, for me, I was like, okay, I need a security blanket financially, yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just being surrounded by these young married couples and hearing her response, I was like, all right, I can do it. Mm. All right, God, you showed me. It's right in front of my face, you know. Financially, you got me. Mm. And my job is share your love. Mm. I don't care what job. Because I was all focused on like, okay, it has to be a good career.
Yeah.
Something my family is going to be proud of. And, you know, but it's like, no, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If it pays the bills, great. Mm-hmm. My job is to share his love wherever I'm at. Mm. And that set me free. Too, hearing that and seeing that. And so once I saw that, met them, I was like, all right, I guess I'm gonna marry Emily, propose to her. So that was another God showing up.
Yeah.
And it's really cool now seeing like where you guys are both at now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that you're able to do that in very tangible ways, right?
Right.
Like you being a firefighter and then Em being a nurse, right? And just being able to tangibly show God's love to people in that way, it's like kind of cool how full circle that came.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so I come back. Came back home. Came back actually a little bit early because my grandmother passed away while I was on my mission trip, which was actually, it was good to be home with the family, but another thing was to actually talk to Em's parents face to face, because I was just going to do it over like FaceTime or Zoom for their blessing to, mm-hmm. you know. Thank God I didn't, because I want, you know, I told my family like, hey, I'm going to propose to Em. They're excited, right? And then I go to Em's parents' house, Em's at work, and then Em's dad opens the door. What are you doing here? Because every time I've gone to their house, it's always been with Em.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like, I'm like, oh, I just want to talk to you. And this is Matsuyoshi. He's like, okay, have a seat. So we're sitting down at the dining table. Mom comes down. And then I said, hey, like, I wanted to ask for your blessing. I want to marry your daughter. And Em's mom starts crying. And then Em's dad is just giving me this blank stare.
Oh, shoot.
And it's not the reaction I imagined in my head, right? Like, my family is, like, super excited, right. And they're just, like, mom's crying, and dad's just staring at me. And then they're, you know.
You're sweating
I'm
more.
Like, no, you know what? I wasn't nervous at all.
No?
I just got back from YWAM.
Oh,
like,
that's true.
I felt like on top of the world, right? But it, you know, the dad, Em's dad's like, how are you going to provide? I was like, I have no idea. I told him that. I was like, I have no idea, but let me tell you what God's done. Wow. And I just kind of shared, you know, my experiences and what I saw and what I plan on doing.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'll work 3 jobs if I have to. Like, I love your daughter. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And then he said, Em's mom said this. She's like, well, you know, you both know God. At your age, we didn't, so maybe you guys will be okay. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Em's dad, or both of them, their English is okay.
Yeah.
But I remember him saying, good luck. So I guess that's his way of saying yes. Yeah. But at the time, I was like, what does that mean? What does good luck mean? And that was it.
Wow.
And it's funny, too, because I told him, like, you know, I worked 3 jobs. That year, I ended up getting 3 jobs. Mm. I worked as an intern at Catalyst, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And I worked at a school for special needs, and I worked at a restaurant.
Wow.
And then her parents, I remember they were like, we're not going to help pay for the wedding. Mm. I was like, okay, no problem. And then my parents were like, yeah, I don't think we are going to be able to help either. Okay. And getting this intern at Catalyst internship, Uncle Barry's like, hey, I'll pay you. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I'll pay you just to be yourself. It's like, huh? What do you mean? And it's wild too, because that year of interning paid for our wedding.
Wow.
I was like, oh my gosh.
That's cool.
And then after that, Emma and I went on a young married couples DTS.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Wild.
Because I know I asked you this question when we were eating lunch, and I think I kind of brought it up earlier too. Like, can you imagine the direction of your life if you didn't make that choice? Like, what it would look like? And I know it's almost like a question you can't answer, but can you even just, you can try to answer that, but then can you also just talk into the direction your life did take? And like, even since then, I'm not sure how old you are, so I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'm 37.
Okay, so it's at least a decade later. Mm-hmm. And so then in that decade, like what have you seen because of that choice?
Yeah. Well, if I didn't make that choice, I'm just imagining. I probably would have finished my EMT, even though I failed. I probably would just go back to EMT school, continue that, pursue the career. If I was going heavy like I was back then, I'd probably be hired at a different department, probably a busy one. I don't know if me and Em would have been together. I don't know. Because where I'm at my department, you know, it's, you know, we work on an active airfield base, but it's, the call volume is very low. So I have a lot of time for my family at home. Like, I don't get forced to work extra days. I don't have a lot of stress on the body.
Yeah.
You know, we do training, but it's, I don't get woken up in the middle of the night very often.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas other departments, busier ones, you know, you're running calls, you're running a lot, and you're getting woken up a lot, and that's very taxing, right, after some time. And just getting forced to work extra days kind of thing. So, I don't know. I don't know what the future would have held for me and Em. We might have been together, but, yeah, it would have been very different, I'm imagining, and especially, like, homeschooling. If we had kids, like, we probably wouldn't be homeschooling, most likely.
Or how about for you and God? Because that seemed like
me and God.
He set you free of a few things.
I feel like me and God, we probably would have been good. Because my parents raised me pretty well, and mm-hmm. I knew of God, I knew he was right, but
yeah.
I feel like I probably would have struggled a lot more. Mm. And I felt like I would have missed out on a lot. I wouldn't have pushed. I wouldn't have trusted as much. I definitely wouldn't have just let go of my life to give to him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have been able to experience what he had for me. Whereas the route that I took with him, man, he went above and beyond. More than I can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, the journey took a lot longer, mm-hmm. but it was so worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so hard, but it was so worth it.
So maybe explain that, because I think that will impact people describing how long or how the journey took longer, but it was worth it. Because I think in our culture, we want now. We want instant. We want, you know, and I think you explaining that might help people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then also, too, how you said it was hard, right? Yeah. I think not just we want it now, but we want it easy, too, right? It's like we want it now and we want it easy. So if you can talk a little bit about...
Yeah. So talking about like the whole mind shift, like change, mindset change for me coming back, I felt God was like, all right, your job is to share my love. So I didn't care where I worked. I gave up that dream of becoming a firefighter.
Well, you did. You gave that up.
Yeah.
For
the season? Yeah. I was like, you know what? I mean, I just gave it up. I was like, wow. I don't really care anymore. Okay. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do. Mm. And in that, I felt God was like, I want you to see healing. Mm. So I was like, oh, all right, I'll go back to EMT. So it wasn't, I want to go back to EMT to become a fireman. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go back to EMT because I want to see healing.
Oh, wow.
And then in that, I felt God was like, okay, not just healing, but you're supposed to meet somebody in your classroom. Mm. So before I even started school, I was praying. I was like, all right, God, who do you want me to meet? So my focus was so different before. Before it was like academics, all right,
yeah.
study, what I need to prove on. It's like, no, this time I was like, all right, who do I need to meet? So I was like hyper aware of like my surroundings of who was sitting next to me, who was talking to me. Yeah, it was just different. And so I passed EMT school and I did meet, you know, that one guy. He's my buddy, Eli. Good friends till this day. But it was just a totally different mindset of focusing on the people. Even during my field internship as an EMT, like with the crews that I was doing ride-alongs with, you know, whatever opportunity that I had to like pray for them or just serve them, whatever it was, the grades were like secondary. So that's kind of how coming back home, like my mindset was just focused on, all right, God, where are you trying to lead me in this? So finishing EMT school, all right, God, where do you want me to like find a job? And I was praying for a job that were like I'd be able to like pray for my patients, because not a lot of companies do.
Yeah.
And I ended up finding a company in San Diego, and then I moved out there, and it was a faith-based ambulance company.
Oh wow!
Got the job with them, and yeah, we saw healings. You know, praying like we were, you know. The owner was like, yeah, go ahead, pray for your patients. If they allow it, if they say okay, go for it.
That's cool.
Right? And unfortunately, this company closed down a while back. But, you know, God was saying, like, you're going to see healings. And then I'm working for a company that believes in healings. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing was they weren't in business until after I got back from YWAM. Mm.
Really?
So if I try to find this place before YWAM, they didn't exist. So that was one thing, but while I was working as an EMT, I struggled a lot with just doing the job well. I was very green, especially when it comes to like radio reports, you know, from our rig to the hospital, right? There's a certain type of terminology you need and I was so bad at it, right? And I just like mucked it up on the radio report and everyone hears you in the county.
Yeah.
I was just flustered. Oh, I didn't know what I was saying. And I was just so, like, embarrassed of what I just did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm about to show up in this hospital, and these guys are going to think I'm a complete idiot. And then God was like, I need you to go to the dispatch room and ask them how, like, you can become better.
Oh, wow.
And that's the last thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, just show my face.
Right, right.
They just hear me on the radio. They don't know what I look like.
Right, right.
I show my face. They're going to know what I look like.
Right, right.
I was like so embarrassed walking in. Hey, guys, that was me on the radio. Can you help me out? They're like, sure. They gave me a whole layout. They gave me their dispatch sheet, exactly what I needed to say, what they're looking for, highlighting things. So I just like memorized it, right?
Yeah.
It made my flow so much easier. But after them kind of sharing that with me, I remember driving home and I just felt like overwhelmed. Like, is this really what I need to be doing? You know, because I just felt so inadequate. Mm. I remember just sitting in my car before I go in inside and just start crying. Mm. So I got on, I don't think this is for me. Like, this is not what I'm made for. Mm. It's like I was just starting over because I had no medical background. You know, I was a sport and recreation major. Now I'm trying to learn about anatomy, physiology, and do all this medical stuff. I'm like, this is just so hard. And I just remember just crying. God's like, give it a year. And I was like, okay. And that okay was because I knew he's been faithful for me, like before.
Trust.
I was like, just, all right, God, okay.
Yep.
And yeah, stick it out for a year. Got a little bit better. Didn't improve a whole lot. Improved a little bit. But I stuck with it. And yeah, through that job, I landed a job in an ER as a tech. I felt God was calling me to do that next, work in a hospital. And after that job, moved back to Orange County. there is a, it's called ambulance operator position. So a lot of departments in SoCal, NorCal, have these programs where they hire EMTs. And you work within the department. Mm-hmm. You work in-house. You can't do any fires, but you run all the EMS calls, which is 90% of the call volume for around here.
Right.
So you kind of get the experience working in-house, all that stuff. So I saw that position open at Huntington. So I applied for it just to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just wanted to see if I can pass. Mm-hmm. I passed the test, which is kind of interesting. That testing process is very different than any other testing process. Mm-hmm. Like anything fire, that was my first experience when it came to like fire testing. Mm-hmm. Everyone dressed in suits for the test, and it's just like high and tight. You know, it's like walking on eggshells. Everyone's very serious, right? And I just, you know, Weimar, you know, was living in Hawaii. It's been a year or so, right? But still, it's like I still got that laid back kind of vibe. And I was like, oh, okay, this is different. You know, no one's smiling. Like, that's weird. Passed the test, went to the interview. And this is another thing. I had a vision that I was sharing my testimony in front of a fire department interview panel.
Really?
And I was like, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the vision God showed me. Maybe I'm supposed to share my testimony with these guys. So I went into this interview expecting I'm going to share my testimony, and I did. And the look on their faces were like, huh? Like, Robert, tell us a little bit about yourself. Oh, sure. You know?
Oh. You asked for it.
Let me tell you. And I just literally told them what God did for me.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the job.
Wow.
Okay. And, man, that was hard. Working for Huntington, they dialed me in for sure. Like, those guys are on top of it.
Wow.
But that gave me, like, oh, I think I'm supposed to be doing this. Mm. Working in a fire station. Mm. Wow. Like, I loved it. It was so much fun. Like, I had my ride-alongs with the OCFA guys back then.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
It was cool, but I wasn't like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? And God was just like, he was showing me. He's like, yeah, I want you here too. Wow. And it felt right.
Yeah.
It felt right. And it was really hard. I was very green. You know, it's the fire service is very like paramilitary style. Mm-hmm. So it was very new to me. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so that whole process was is a huge learning curve for me, but it was so good for me. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it took me a good 5 years, you know, going through fire academy and schooling. But then again, like, I wasn't so concerned about how long it was going to take me. Mm. I was more like, all right, God, let's enjoy this journey. You know, together.
Yeah, not so focused on the destination.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like I felt like I already had the job.
Yeah,
which is weird. I feel like I'm already gonna be one. Mm. It's just one.
Mm. So I mean, as you're sharing it to me, it looks like for the 25-year-old Rob, that God had this destination for you. But he had certain things that he wanted you to experience, mm-hmm. grow in, mature in, whatever. And he needed you to just trust him to take these steps.
Right.
But he actually wanted the same result that you wanted back then, or it seemed like that you wanted back then, but he needed you to be in a different place before you got there. Does that seem?
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
It's kind of interesting, too, as you're talking and describing some of the situations, it seemed like, you know, you kept saying like, I was kind of testing God, right? I was kind of testing God with the finances. I was kind of testing. But then at the same time, it feels like God was kind of testing you. Mm-hmm. Like, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose me, or are you going to choose the career? Are you going to choose this, or are you going to choose that? And then each time as you chose him, then he was bringing certain things back, right? It's like when you were chasing the EMT thing, right, at the beginning, it's like, oh, well, you weren't able to pass some of the tests. But then when you changed course and you said, I'm just going to show God's love to people, then it's like, okay, you're passing these tests and you're getting to the destination that you had originally wanted. But the shift in the mindset, the shift in the focus kind of changed everything. And now you're back doing the thing that you originally had an idea of wanting to do in the first place.
Yeah. And where I got this department where I'm at, I would have never imagined being at a spot like this. Yeah. Oh my gosh. After the academy, they had a recruitment for my department for volunteers. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea this department existed. It was in Los Alamitos. That's the Joint Force Training Base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's a fire station there, you know? And
yeah, I had no idea.
I had no idea. And it's a gem.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I work with amazing, amazing guys. And they really just took me under their wing and invested a lot of time in me. I'm so thankful for them. But it's allowed me to have a lot of time with my family.
Yeah.
And realizing, like, you know, the 5 years, it's like, okay, God's just been showing me, like, hey, it's just a job.
Yeah.
You know? And say if that station took a dump or something, like, it just didn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be okay with it. You know? Like, because he's shown me, like, the quality time that I've had with my girls, my daughters, because I pretty much was a stay-at-home dad, mm-hmm. right? Going through EMT school and working as an EMT, you're getting paid minimum wage, which is wild. Right? EMTs get paid minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Em was a huge supporter through the whole process. She's been always supportive, never negative, never like, hey, you're going to get a real job, you know? I mean, she's my sugar mama. And that's another funny, that's a God thing too, because I like jokingly said before we got married, I was like, God, I want a sugar mama, you know, and I'm like, wow, hey, he did that too, you know, but she's been so supportive throughout the years,
yeah.
And, but being able to be home with my two daughters, like, first 5 years of their life, I was like, this is what I want to be, I want to be with them, I want to continue to see them grow, and working at this department, it, they've allowed me to, like, be home, you know. A lot.
And then it sounds like the Rob from 12 years ago wasn't that same type of, didn't have that same perspective.
No.
Of spend more time with my family and what does God want me to do? It was more like just the way we're raised in our society. Like what's about, what can I earn? What can I attain and status and that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think for me that just, it's awesome hearing the fullness of your story. I've heard bits and pieces. I've heard details, but there's stuff, the way you shared it today, I think for our listeners to hear that it's not a quick process, right? There's things, and sometimes things happen quickly, but like oftentimes it's the slow journey, but it's the journey that itself is really the prize, that's the pearl. And just hearing how you took steps of obedience, of like, okay, I'll do this, all right. And even that, like, you're being real and honest with God, like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this. And he told you just do it for a year. Mm-hmm. And then just that the trust that you had, but that had built up over time. And I know we're kind of in this live it phase of Ephesians, and this stuff that Paul is talking about here too, it's not easy. And it's not like all of a sudden you can just flip a switch and their life is just perfect and it's easy to follow God. But it's those little steps of obedience that build on each other, and that gives you that momentum. It gives you that foundation. So it's just really encouraging to hear that part of your story.
Yeah. So as we are in this kind of live it portion of Ephesians, where it's a lot more application, is there any, like, not necessarily advice, but is there any words of wisdom or anything that you can do to encourage our listeners that are maybe having choices to make, and how to be intentional about making those choices, and you know, things that maybe have helped you?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just love. How can you love, you know, the people that you're around? Whether it's like, you know, going through the fire training and schooling, you can meet some pretty hard people. Going through the testing processes, you know, it's a tough field to get into. And some people it's taken even longer to get in, and some people can be pretty bitter, right? But I mean, it's anywhere, right? You work in any industry, you're gonna find hard people. But I feel what God has really showed me is just how can you just love those people too, you know? Like wherever you go, just how can you love? And that's helped me because it gets the focus off of what I'm trying to do and start focusing on what God wants me to do. Yeah.
That all stems from that Russian lady's words to you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you share that again with our listeners? What?
Yeah, she said, "I only work to share God's love."
Wow.
And so, yeah, it really just simplifies my job.
Yeah.
Wherever I'm at, I mean, even today, right? I've been working paid a little over 2 years now, right? And first year, you're a rookie. Actually, the first 5 years, you're technically a rookie. But when you're at a slower station, you can be complacent, you know? And, you know, my captain, my chief, they're like, all right, let's step it up, let's do this thing. So you can be trying to get back into like you know, that mindset of like continuing learning. And I mean, we're always continuing learning, but like sometimes you can get so overwhelmed with the work stuff that I kind of forgot about the love. Now that I'm in this position, now that I am getting paid and, you know, I have this time with my family, I can get comfortable, right? And I think now God's like, he is reminding me like, okay, hey, don't forget why you're here.
Yeah, that's good.
So I think for the rest of my career, rest of my life, it's like, I just got to go back to the basics. All right, I just need a love.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's really a good picture of what the city on a hill looks like.
Yeah.
Right? Is that where people are known, you know, where our community is known, they're the most loving people. They're the ones that are going to live out their faith by loving us or by loving the world or the community or things like that. And it's so awesome to see that you're able to do that. So, Rob, we just want to say thank you again for coming on, taking your time out of your day, bringing us snacks and sharing your story. You know, I really feel like people are going to be encouraged by the decisions that you made, and it's really going to be helpful for them to hear, especially on the outset, you know, the other side, the results of all the decisions that you made and looking at where you're at now and just the ways that you've matured in your faith and the ways that you're pursuing the Lord and the ways that you're loving on people. I really feel like that's going to be an encouragement for our listeners.
For sure.
So, like I said, thanks again. You're always welcome to come back.
Guys. That was fun.
How was it?
It was good.
Because he asked me, he's like, is this like an interview? I can talk the whole time. I'm like, no, it's just like a round table. We just all kind of talk and ask each other questions. He's like, oh yeah, I can do that.
That was fun. Appreciate you guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
All right, so until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish. And oh man, I'm pushing the mute buttons too fast. I mute myself. Kyle's making fun of me, but he's muted. So, like I said, until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.